Hey, it's on. Look, it's on.
Oh, it's on.
It is so on.
Pull up a chair, grab a cold one, smoke them if you got them. It's time for the Fan Happy Hour.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
Here's your host, Luke Anderson.
All right, kids, it is the actual happy hour. Thank you for Dusty Hara coming in, hanging out with us for the bonus hour. Yesterday, to end the show, I asked all of you fine listeners if there was any moments where you felt like a terrible sports parent. If you missed that story, you can go back and listen to it on the podcast, 1051thefan.com. But we did get a couple answers that I really liked. There was one set of buddies that would go and heckle each other while they were umpiring, which is fantastic. So every call that they made, he would intentionally argue. And only and all the fans would ask, who you're rooting for? And he's like, oh, I'm actually here with the umpire, which is, to me, was absolutely delightful. Another story, I believe from Rufio, he was saying that he was coaching football, and there was a parent that would go and do the chain gang.
Yes.
So that he could coach his own son and yes. Tell him what plays to run. So he would sneak onto the sideline
because of course, the
form of an official. Yeah. And oh my God, did I love that.
Yeah, that's the biggest dad sports move ever.
It's pretty good. So I might not be the best sports parent, but I'm not the worst sports parent. It did remind me of a quick story that was absolutely hilarious. My brother was playing like old kid baseball where he was old enough to drive to his own games. And they got to the game and there was no umpire. And my dad came to watch a game. And so he goes, hey, we don't have an umpire, Dad. Do you mind jumping in? My dad was a little league coach growing up. So my dad jumps in behind the plate. As soon as my brother goes back to the dugout to warm up, gets in a fight with the coach, quits the game, drives away in his own car. And guess who's still stuck behind the plate umpiring a game that now he has zero connection to. So one of my favorite stories.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. So I wanted to dive right in with the Mariners and Brewers. I don't know if you had a chance to watch the game last night, but I
did not.
I thought I would put it on and just kind of have it as background noise. And then, of course, it ends up being a great game. The Mariners win 1-0. Cal Raleigh, home run. Logan Gilbert goes out and throws 6 1/3, 10 strikeouts. Only walked one. It was against the Miz, who got pulled early in the game.
Yeah, the big dumper dropping a bomb into the right field seats.
The big dumper. Did you see the achievement that he achieved? Passing Griffey for the most. I guess he tied his 39th homer, tied Griffey for the most home runs in a player in their first five seasons with the Mariners.
Oh,
so obviously fewer games because he has the rest of this season. So just another milestone.
That's a look. And that is a fantastic milestone for a Seattle Mariner. Anytime you can best Ken Griffey Jr., you have done something pretty well.
Yeah. Well, and the Brewers are absolutely red hot. I'm trying to get the game right now, but I cannot seem to get it on our TV. I don't know if there's a way.
Yeah. Well,
that
we got some Hulu stuff, and for some reason, like Root Sports isn't on the Hulu TV.
Yeah.
And all that kind of good stuff.
I might have to put in my.
It's on MLB Network, but since we're in this region and in their area, we cannot catch them on the MLB Network either.
Well, right now the Mariners are down 6-2 to the Brew Crew, but the Brewers have the best record in baseball right now, tied with the Cubs. So that division race is going to be something to watch.
I think last night snapped the Brewers' 11-game winning streak.
Yeah, and if they win today, then it's 12 out of 13, which is not too bad. But yeah, they're absolutely red hot, and the Mariners have been playing well lately. They go into the All-Star break by sweeping the Tigers, who are the best record in the American League. Then they get 2 out of 3 from the Astros, but hitting an absolute buzzsaw with what you have. So nice win last night for the Mariners. Problem is the Astros went back to their winning ways, and they're playing right now as well. I don't have their score in front of me, but they are still 5 games up in the division. They're playing
top
Arizona
of the sixth
right now.
In Arizona, it is knotted up at 1 apiece.
All right. Well, right here in the first segment of Happy Hour, we're going to try to get to some sports jokes. So we're going to go to a quick hitter we are calling in case you missed it. We don't have any music for this, so this is where you give me that intro, my friend.
Well, here, tell you what, let's see here. What can we do? Let's try some of the... here we go. Let's try some of this.
All right.
Little Benny Hill?
Sure, yeah, man. Yeah. I like it. In case you missed it yesterday, we were making several jokes about how old the Clippers were. And then in the last 24 hours, you had Venus Williams become the second oldest player ever to win a singles match at 45 years old. Also at 45 year old, Rich Hill made his season debut, making him the oldest player in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. This morning, I read both of those headlines. I start writing all of these old people jokes.
Yeah.
And then I got up from the toilet and pulled a hamstring. So... I am only 44 years old.
I'm falling, and I can't get up.
Yeah.
I am 44, and I'm much older than both Venus and Rich Hill. Yeah, so Rich 45, Hill, yeah, 45 years old.
His 21st MLB season, I believe.
21st, 14th team.
14th team, but he's been on the Red Sox, I think, three or four different times.
Yeah. He's moved around quite a lot. In case you missed it, Jimmy Graham has announced his retirement. He stopped putting up numbers after he left the Saints and went to the Seahawks. He stopped trying when he went to the Packers, and he stopped winning when he went to the Bears. So it's about time he stops getting paid. Fair?
Sounds about right.
All right. That one landed a little bit flatter, but that's okay. In case you haven't been paying attention to the Detroit Tigers, they are still in first place in the AL Central, but they have lost 9 of 10. And earlier today, they were swept by the 41-61 Pittsburgh Pirates. Did you happen to hear what A.J. Hinch, their manager, said about why they lost to Pittsburgh?
I'm going to guess it's because they didn't score more runs than the other team.
Not enough RBIs. No? Yes. That is the correct reaction, but I got to get a pirate joke in there, so it made it good. Despite the loss to the Brewers, the Brewers still have the best record in baseball. They lost last night. Meanwhile, the Dodgers lost again. They have now lost 11 of 14. If you do the math, in the last 14 games, the Brewers have spent just over $900,000 per game. And for each win, the Dodgers have spent more than $9 million per win.
All right. Yeah, I guess that's one way to look at it.
Hey, listen. You have a payroll that is $341 million as the Dodgers. They will be spending a lot more to get some relief pitching here very soon. According to reports, Luka Doncic was instrumental in recruiting Marcus Smart to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. So in an effort for the Lakers to start giving load management to LeBron James, they have now moved Luka into the GM role, which is...
Seems like a smart idea.
It is. That's what you did there. Probably not a good sign if you're expecting Luka to play defense this year. Clearly appears that he recruited someone to play defense for him. So you don't like that one? we try. That's in case you missed it. We'll try to make you laugh at the end of the first segment. Every day on a Happer. Went a little smoother than yesterday.
I'm trying. We'll get there. We're getting our groove.
We'll dive into a handful of stories that caught my attention. We'll do it next. It's a Daily Buzz on Happy Hour with Luke Anderson on 105.1 The Fan.
Top headlines, trending topics, and trivial matters that got our attention. It's the Daily Buzz on The Fan Happy Hour.
The Buzz.
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 Here's your host, Luke Anderson.
All right. Well, hey, we just did... our in case you missed it, and it did its job. It got Ryan Buckley's attention. He dropped in to let me know that Venus Williams' opponent that she played yesterday, when she was born, Venus had already won 4 major titles.
Like, I don't need help in feeling old.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen. Yeah. It looks like whoever she was playing last night was born, if I try to pull it up real quick to verify the statistic, but born October 8th, 2001, if I have it correctly. That was a very quick search, but hey, our quick joke.
I was married a scant 11 months after that.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, yeah. Old, as the kids would say, old AF.
Yeah, well, I don't think you're wrong about that. All right, it's a Daily Buzz. We're going to try to get to a handful of stories here real quick. One of them is Marcus Smart going to the Lakers. Did a couple quick jokes about that.
Smart idea.
Well, listen, you add a former Defensive Player of the Year to a roster that has more than enough offense. You have Luka, LeBron, who knows how much LeBron you're going to have as the years continue, but it feels like he's going to be there. They add DeAndre Ayton. Do you? I know we made fun of the Clippers for being really old.
Right.
When LeBron is the one that's like dragging your age up. I think there's plenty of people that thought adding Luka last year might add enough to put them in contention. They looked, you know, like they had a little something in the playoffs and then ran out of gas.
Yeah.
But adding Marcus Smart seems like a pretty good move, where a guy that doesn't need the ball in his hands but can still score,
yeah,
and a guy that can play a lot of defense. How you feeling about what the Lakers are trying to get done?
It seems like a smart move.
Love that joke.
Double dip. I dipped my chip and then I took a bite and go. I dipped it again.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. Look, I am one of those people. I am a LeBron James apologist and supporter.
Oh, okay. I'm
that
sorry
guy,
to hear that.
Well, hey, you know, we're entering his, we're getting ready for his 23rd season, I want to say.
I think it's 23. His playing seasons are old enough to drink and then some.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And he still looks like basically he did when he entered the league. Yeah. He plays, he's still a physical freak. He can still command an entire basketball game and take it over. And it's at his age, at now he's going to be, what, age 40, 41 this season, at 23rd season. Yeah. But he's a freak. That's all it is. He's not the Greek freak. He's an American freak. He's an Akron freak.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the one thing that I want that he does to rub off on Luka is the way that he prepares for a season. There was all these comments about him on his first Olympic team, how everybody wanted to go out and party or whatever, but LeBron was in bed by 9. He was up early at the weight room, putting in 10 hours a day, making sure that his body was ready. He doesn't eat anything that's not on the menu. He is about as disciplined as anybody has been. And Luka has been just about as much fun to watch as anybody in the league, but seems to have no discipline outside of the basketball court. So if those two can make it work, if they can add pieces with championship pedigree, I'm all for it. I know Marcus Smart left before Boston won theirs, but making sure that you can get that to happen.
Yeah.
And finding those guys that are going to be, you know, good role players, it'll be interesting to see.
I think that just one quick note.
No, you're good.
I think that trying to turn Luka into a LeBron type is an exercise in futility.
If you get him 20% more prepared for the season, how much better is he? Because he's already one of the most efficient scorers in NBA history.
And just look, Michael Finley, let him have his GD beer after they win.
Yeah.
Okay? Come on. It's a beer.
Yeah. No, I do not disagree with that. All right, moving on to story two. We lost Ozzy Osbourne this week. It was announced yesterday. He passed away a couple days ago.
Yeah, mama, he came home.
There you go. Yeah. We have some stories coming around from the sports world. One of my favorites was from Chipper Jones, paid a little tribute. So over his 19 MLB seasons, his walk-up song was Crazy Train. Mm. So they will be forever linked. So Chipper Jones put out a note on social media and just, you know, thanking him that they would be forever linked because of the song. But he had a little Mike Piazza shot, because anytime the Braves can take a shot at the Mets, I always think it's good. And I was always a Mike Piazza fan and not a Chipper Jones fan. This has flipped that a little bit. Jones was talking about a time they were playing against the Mets, and Jones walks up to the plate, and after exchanging greetings, Piazza said he hated this bleeping song. And Jones quickly replied, "Well, get ready, because you're going to hear it about 5 times today."
All right, look, here's my issue with Chipper Jones.
Yeah, hey, have all the issues you want, bro.
You're a grown ass man, and you chose to go by Chipper for your entire adult life. I understand your name is Lawrence. You could go by Larry. I don't know what your middle name is. You could choose to go by that. You could go by L dot, whatever your middle name is. You, as a grown ass man.
I'm going to need our boss's name is Dusty.
Yeah.
He might be listening.
I didn't say that. You did. Yeah, you're the one that's going to get fired over
that. Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah.
So, but yeah, as a grown-ass man, he just still decided to go by Chipper for his entire major league career.
All right, listen, if you don't like this song... This is the one time I was.
And that's another
Chipper.
Big issue with Chipper.
This song?
No, him hating this song.
No, Piazza said he hates this song. Chipper's walk-up music, and Piazza's behind the dish and goes, "I hate this song." And Chipper goes, "Well, you're about to hear it five times today." Chipper Jones' numbers against the Mets: he hit .309, 49 home runs. In 245 games against the Mets.
And that's a big issue for me and my fellow countrymen, Mike Piazza, as fellow Italian men.
Yeah.
That's,
all right. Yeah, well, again, first and probably only time I will ever take Chipper's side in anything between him and Piazza.
Fair enough.
But I had to share with you.
Sun even shines on a dog's arse some days, right?
It certainly does, my friend. All right, third story I want to get to. Your defending World Series champs are in a slump. We were making jokes about it. But they have been swept by the Astros. They've been swept twice by the Brewers. And it feels like this team is going to be the ultimate buyers, but I don't know how many people are selling out there. But if there's a relief pitcher on the market, the Dodgers seem to be absolutely desperate for it. They're scoring runs in bunches, but they're very inconsistent with it. And I mean, losing 11 of 14 games in the last little stretch before the All-Star break and now coming out of it,
yeah,
it feels like the defense of the championship is a long way off, and just trying to right the ship is the next move for these young men.
It's always great, too, when one of your relief pitchers has a three-run throwing error to lose the game.
No, it was...
A three-run throwing error. Your bad throw cleared all of them damn bases.
What do the pitchers get paid for? Throwing the ball hard.
Yeah, well, and over the plate.
And over the plate. But man, there's something when you turn away from home, those, because not only do they miss the throw,
yeah,
they miss it badly, and it goes a long way. Do you not clench? Do you have a baseball team?
No.
Okay. Do you watch much baseball?
No.
Okay.
There is
a clench that I have every time a pitcher fields a ball.
Oh,
Matt Brash got the ball, little comebacker, off the feet yesterday, and he scrambled around to pick it up.
Yeah.
And he finally gets it and tries to rush the throw. It ends up getting dropped yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
But watching that little moment, luckily all it did was bounce off the glove of Rayleigh.
Yeah.
But there is a clench moment every time a pitcher picks up the ball and tries to
charge in toward
west.
The plate and try to fire it to first. It's like, are you Chuck Knob? Block.
Yeah. No, it well,
you got
that,
the yips.
Dude, that was one of the weirdest things that maybe baseball has ever seen is the yips going over to first base.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. That was an absolute wild one. But right now we're getting independent races and just being able to kind of watch it and try to figure out what these scores are. Did you get a score on the Astros game by chance?
Let's go over here and take a look at the live scoreboard. Top of the seventh. In Arizona, the Astros lead the Diamondbacks 2-1.
Boy, Diamondbacks losing and Mariners losing right now is not what we need, but we're starting to get into that. So the good news is we've got football right around the corner.
Oh, the Brew Crew, 7 runs on 15 hits.
Yeah, their entire lineup. Yeah. You know Christian Yelich is going to do it, and Jackson Churio is kind of an emerging star, but everybody in that lineup, they did it the other night. They brought up 8 in the 6th and put up 4 runs and then 2 more in the 7th or 8th, whatever it was the other night, a 6-run shutout. The Brewers are for real. And if you look back at the Brewers, what they've done in the last however many years, they have 2 years that they haven't missed the playoffs since 2018. Both years they won had 86 wins. And in the last, in the years that they've made the playoffs, they've won their division 4 times. And they made it to the NLCS once, but they've lost in their first round, whether it's wild card or the divisional series, in most of those. But they've been really good for a long time. They had, Burns.
Eric.
No, not
no.
Eric.
No, Oakland A's.
Yeah, no. It doesn't matter. But they had
Bob Uecker.
They had a Cy Young winner. They lose him, they keep winning. They have all of these guys that keep moving through. But here was my strategy.
Okay, yeah.
This was strategy is after game one of the Mariners series, I was like, all right, the Brewers have won 11 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They're a likable team. They're pretty fun to watch. I mean, yeah. One of the better mascots in the sport. The Brewers, I am all in on Brewers. If I'm not rooting, I root for the Dodgers because they have L.A., Luke Anderson on their hat. I root for the Mariners because they're my home team. But if I had to pick another team, I'd probably go Brewers. They're fun to watch. Yeah, my strategy for last night was, you know what? I think I'm going to do it. I almost said it on the show yesterday. I'm going to root for the Brewers because I rooted for the Mariners and they lost. So then I go in and the Mariners win. And then I go back to rooting for the Mariners. And who's winning?
Yeah.
Stupid Brewers.
Well, see, and that's the whole thing, too, is that you remember, I think it was 1970 or so when the Seattle Pilots started.
Yep.
And then they were there
moved
for
to Milwaukee.
A season.
Yep.
And Bud Selig.
Yep.
The owner of the Milwaukee team moved them to Milwaukee. That became the Brewers.
And do you know who the play-by-play was for the Pilots in that first year?
For the Seattle Pilots?
For the Seattle Pilots?
No, I'm going to guess it's not Bob Uecker.
It was not.
No.
Bill Shonley.
Get right the hell out of town.
That's the way I remember the history going. Somebody wants to fact check.
Well,
me,
I was not
ahead,
alive in 1970.
Yeah.
It took me till
1976. But I believe that is the case that he was.
That's
the,
fantastic. Yeah, that's
so,
great.
So there you go. The great, the Shawns, I believe was their play-by-play guy.
Yeah, so he's got Rip City and the Bird Crew.
There you go. That's what we got. All right, that's the Daily Buzz. Let's walk over to the George McCoy at Warren Allen Sports Desk and see what big stories we missed.
It's Wednesday on the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson. Time for the subtext. We've got the clips, but what were they really saying? Let's listen in. Let's listen in.
Let's listen in.
Let's listen in.
Let's listen in.
Whether you were in a coma when I answered Tom's question or typing on your phone or tweeting, I don't know, but I spent 5 minutes answering that question. And I could go back through it, but I'd rather not. We won't know. We did pretty good on the linear run test, which they practiced. They knew what it was going to be. The big thing will come when they're in line contact. I mean, and you're sitting there, you're wrestling with a guy, and then the D lineman's rushing. He almost gets to the quarterback, but we're telling him to plant and run and go sprint to the football and then go do it again. Or we're asking Kyle Williams to go run a post, and he didn't get the ball, but he wanted to get the ball, but he didn't. Can he run back, get set, know what to do the next play? That's really where we'll see. So I'll be able to answer that question again, hopefully only once in a few days.
So that feels like Big Ten Media Day, kind of, but that is New England Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel, and guess what? He's tired of your ass.
Yes, already. It's great, because you lose. Listen, some of the shine's coming off the angry old Bill Belichick with the new young girlfriend, but Mike Vrabel, somebody that played for Bill Belichick in the heyday of New England, man, stepping right in. Little bit of the Belichick sass, but he's going right at it. He's going linebacker mode, and I'm not going to take it. More personality, but same sass as Belichick. I appreciate it.
One of the favorite things that came out of his firing from the Tennessee Titans was that basically the brass of that team, they were intimidated
yes!
by him and his size.
I love it.
They're just like, we're scared of you. We don't want you to coach our team anymore because you're too damn big.
Yeah. Without saying it, he's saying that, hey, this is going to be the New England Patriots that you remember from winning championships. So well done on Mike Vrabel on early press conferences.
Yeah, he's just go win, big boy.
Yeah.
Go win, big boy.
Yeah.
12 of the 16 SEC teams play 3 G5 or an FCS game. 12 of those teams play 36 games, 29 G5 games, and 7 FCS games, and one less conference game. All right? So we figured we'd just adopt SEC scheduling philosophy. You know, some people don't like it. I'm more focused in on those 9 conference games. You know, not only do we want to play 9 conference games, okay, and have the 4-4 championship, the playoff format, okay? We want to have play-in games to decide Who plays in those playoffs? You know, championship weekend, let's play 3-6 and 4-5. You want to decide that on the field and make sure everybody's strength of schedule is what it needs to be? Let's make everybody play 9 conference games, and on championship weekend, 3 will play 6, 4 will play 5. And there's still room for another at-large in that format.
I'm not going to lie. I love Kurt Cignetti's little accent there. Sounds like a little Texas dude. He's like a little junior Jared Jones. But yeah, he's Kurt Cignetti taking his shots at the SEC and their scheduling practices and says, hey, if we're going to play 9 conference games, I'm not scheduling anybody in my non-con games.
Well, what I hear in there, if I'm listening to what he's actually saying, this is what gave me the idea that he wants to have the SEC schedule. He likes the way that that schedule is set up. What is his lineage? He was in the SEC locker rooms. He was an assistant. He worked with Saban and Kirby Smart and went through there. He wants the Big Ten to do what they're doing. I know that he has to walk the Big Ten line. Mm-hmm. That's why he's echoing everything that was said there.
Right.
But if you really listen to it, and you pointed it out, he's even got the Southern drawl.
Yeah.
He wants to have the SEC schedule. And again, if you're fighting with somebody that is too stubborn to change and you're blaming only them, stop. Take a step back and look. Go, you might be part of the problem.
No, but look, but here's the thing is that I will blame only them. I will blame why? Only the SEC because they come out and they say, you want to know why we only play 8 conference games?
Because we like winning national championships.
Well, yes, but they also say that we only play 8 non-conference games because we scheduled Power 4 teams in our non-conference games. Guess what?
The reason, hey,
this is a big shocker here. This is a big shocker here. Those same Power 4 teams that you schedule in your non-conference games, they are scheduling those against you and they play 9 conference games.
What does the bully do when he's giving you the noogie? He blames you.
That white dog turd.
I wouldn't do this if you weren't a dork. It's your fault. I have to do this to you.
No, listen.
You're never going to learn to not be a dork.
But if they're going to say we do this because we schedule other Power 4 teams in our non-conference games, again, guess what? Those same Power 4 conference teams are playing you.
The bully.
And they play 9 conference games.
The bully keeps winning.
God bless America.
The bully keeps winning. That's what I'm hearing from Kurt Cignetti. What else you got?
I hate it.
Here's a check swing. Tapper to Enriquez. Throw to first. Goes into right field. Oh, boy. 3 runs and a score.
Yeah. So, wow.
Did you hear the drop in that voice? That is Big Blue Broadcast. That is...
The best part is the Dodgers, like, as much as they are screaming through baseball and win everything all the time...
They ain't winning right now.
Yeah, not right now. Their bullpen is a giant gall-darn disaster. A 3-run throwing error from a pitcher. 3-run error!
Listen, there's a lot of...
He cleared the bases with one crappy-ass throw.
There is a lot of ways to lose a baseball game.
And if that was one of them.
And if you're going to lose 9 out of 10, you're going to come up with creative ways to do it. Baseball is a very, very long season. Pick your team, follow them closely, have a great time on the roller coaster that is. But this is why you watch the rest of baseball. When the Dodgers start taking a dump, it is fantastic to watch, and there is nothing better than them finding creative ways to lose. But what you're hearing in that clip is just the more of this. Just like, hearing that disappointment. This is why it's so fun to read between the lines, my friend. You got one more for me?
What I was going to say was that really is like a big Bob Uecker moment like Major League. Just holy hell, are you kidding me? We found another way to lose a game. Like
saying everything without saying anything at all. I'm going to keep doing my play-by-play.
You can't say damn on the radio. It doesn't matter. Nobody's listening anyway. But no, that's all I got for this segment.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is our segment we're calling The Subtext. We'll bring you some decoding of coach speak and press conferences and whatnot every Wednesday on the Happy Hour. We're going to grab one more for the road, and we'll do it next. It is Happy Hour with Luke Anderson on 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network.
Relax, hot shot.
Welcome back to the Fan Happy Hour. We're about to wrap things up.
Maybe you guys like what I have so far?
Wicked woman, cool creams and misters. You gotta go spell on me.
Let's grab one more for the road.
Come on, everybody. Everything's smooth.
Here's Luke Anderson.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, one more for the road. Doing a one-man show, sometimes hard to keep an eye on everything that's going on. If you've been following what they're saying about us on the YouTube and the text line, my friend?
Been trying to.
All right, what are they say? What are they saying out there, my friend?
Well, one thing that we had on the... let's see here. We got one. This is from it's a 360 number. Jeff, you're so much more fun on this show than you are on the firm. I get more leeway here.
Well, hey, we're trying to make it a fun show. You know, yeah. If I'm Letterman, you're Schaefer, and we'll make this a blast and go from there. So, yeah. Keep being fun, brother.
Another one, Rink and Keel had a second career because of the yips.
That's very true.
Yes.
Yeah, he had to move to the outfield.
Yeah, yeah. I believe was originally a pitcher and went to the outfield because he was such a good hitter, too.
Well, and he could not hit the catcher. Let alone the strike zone. He was bouncing it off the stadium walls.
Yeah, when he was no Chuck Knobloch, but
All right. Yeah. Anything else you got there?
Oh, let's see here. What else we got? Chimed in with Corbin Burns, and we couldn't remember who the Burns person was. Chipper, also a horrible person. Not sure if he's matured. Also my favorite player.
My favorite player and a horrible person. I've got one more thing for anybody that's on the text line. I have a pair of tickets to advanced screening of The Naked Gun on July 28th at the Regal Lloyd Center, courtesy of Paramount Pictures. The new Naked Gun movie starring Liam Neeson is going into theaters on August 1st. But you can see it early. Text the code word NAKED to 503-864-6FAN. That's 503-864-6326 right now to enter for your chance to win the tickets to the advanced screening of The Naked Gun on July 28th at the Regal Lloyd Center.
Trying to explain that text to your wife.
Hey, do whatever you got to do. head to 1051thefan.com for the complete details.
I am very excited for this Naked Gun reboot, and I think Liam Neeson, he is not known as a comedic performer, as we all know.
You can't be as Frank Drebin, man. You got to go in there. You got to play it straight.
Well, no, but he's Frank Drebin's kid.
Yes, it's Frank Drebin Jr.
Yes.
That's exactly my point.
And so it's like in the trailer, they all go through and they're standing there looking at all of their daddy's headshots and stuff. And then they get to OJ's kid and he's like,
the genre of cop parody comedy. There's plenty to pull from.
I can't wait. I think that'll be great. I'm a big Liam Neeson. And I've you've got Liam Neeson and Nick Cage. In terms of like a bunch of those movies that they just keep churning them out like every 2 months and nobody watches them. Guess what? I do.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
So I do.
You'll get all the references.
I do.
All right. Last story to send you out on. I don't know if you saw this, but Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, has announced his retirement. He got in trouble coming out of college because he was making money for club appearances, which now seems very, very laughable, but was great at LSU, ended up being a Pro Bowl selection multiple times, first-team All-Pro honors, won a Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs, was very good. But it got me to thinking, were our parents better at nicknames than we have been? It feels like Honey Badger is one of my favorite nicknames.
That is a good one.
But I was looking at, here's some of the old nicknames that we have from way back in the day. Broadway Joe for Joe Namath, absolutely great. Sweetness for Walter Payton. I know it's kind of lazy, but Mean Joe Green, great one.
No, you can't go...
You don't have to overthink it.
No, exactly.
Dick Nitrane Lane, the Minister of Defense, was Reggie White.
Right, that is a fantastic one.
William the Refrigerator Perry, the Nigerian Nightmare. Jack Tatum was the Assassin. Craig Ironhead Hayward. Yeah. Come on. There were some that were right on those. Too Tall Jones, White Shoes.
Oh, yeah, Ed Too Tall Jones. Yeah, exactly. Well, so you had the Nigerian Nightmare, and that was Christian Okoye.
Christian Okoye.
But what was also Hakeem's?
Hakeem the Dream.
Well, no, but I feel like he had another... I think nightmare. It was
just,
okay.
I think it was maybe his dream.
I could
well,
be wrong.
If, well, but if you have the Nigerian nightmare,
right,
and the dream,
yeah.
I mean, those go.
Oh, and by the way, going back to the old Tecmo Bowl days.
Yes.
The Nigerian nightmare, Christian Okoye, he was a beast.
Oh, dude, he gets absolute an excellent beast. In Tecmo.
He was probably
Super Bowl.
Only number two to like Bo Jackson
yeah.
in terms of Tecmo beasts.
Well, I don't know if you put them in our parents' era and our era. There's a couple in between that I'm okay with. I like the bus, Jerome Bettis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
This is where they start to go downhill
yeah,
a little.
Fine.
Like prime time for Dion.
I don't like Dion.
Well, and they had Neon Dion. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Here's the best ones that I have from our time.
Okay.
But there's not the list is not long.
Well, look,
Tyrann Mathieu.
Even one here close to home, you got Clyde the Glide.
Well, yeah, well, I'm
that is
NFL.
A fantastic.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, you're just going NFL.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
going NFL.
Apologies.
I'm going NFL. It's fine. No, this is the request I have of our listeners.
Yes.
And you. Clyde the Glide was great, but that's, again, I think our parents' generation. I mean, didn't play.
No, that is my generation, you jerk.
How old were you when Clyde the Glide got his nickname?
I am turning 49 in a couple of weeks.
I understand. How old were you when Clyde the Glide got his nickname?
Probably 6 or 7.
Okay, so I'm not giving you credit.
Wait, because,
I'm not giving our generation.
Because the Trailblazers drafted Sam Bowie.
Yes, I know.
Instead of Michael Jordan because...
They had Clyde the Glide.
They already drafted Clyde Drexler the year before. And also, they lost a coin flip.
Yes.
With the Houston yes. Rockets. Or they could have had
Hakeem
Olajuwon and Clyde yes. Drexler for all those years.
Yes. Oh, I mean that was a Fi Slamajama.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
You could
that?
Have had them
could
both
you imagine,
from Houston.
Could you imagine Hakeem Olajuwon on those Trailblazers?
Can you imagine
teams?
The Blazers being better? Yes. That's all we ever do around
God
here.
God bless
imagine.
America.
Okay. Back to my
Sorry.
List of more recent.
I digress.
I'm going. The best recent nickname is the Honey Badger.
That is a good. I mean, that's
it's
yeah.
the and I apologize. I love Beast Mode is probably 1A, 1B. The Honey Badger was just so perfect for Tyrann Mathieu.
Yes.
Beast Mode is is like it's almost like an alter ego more than a nickname.
Right.
And I know that Marshawn has done great with that.
Yes.
Megatron's okay.
Ooh, that is a good one though.
The Human Joystick, Dante Hall, that's a good one.
Yes.
King Henry. Ocho Cinco. The one I hated the most was All Day for Adrian Peterson. He would go by AD.
May I please say I've always hated the name Ocho Cinco, the nickname Ocho Cinco. Oh,
it's the worst.
Because you always said, well, it's my number. No. Ocho Cinco literally means 8-5. If you want to say 85, it's 85. Okay.
And he,
I know my Spanish.
And he T-boned it where you can't give yourself a nickname. He put it on his jersey.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
So I ask you,
tell you what, Luke, you're Coco.
I get to be Coco.
You get to be Coco.
So I will ask the listeners and we'll give you 23 hours to respond. You can tell us over text, social media, whatever you want, YouTube chat, whatever.
Yeah.
Your favorite nicknames in sports, you've already got a little bit ahead of it. But Clyde the Glide, favorite nickname, or you're just favorite player?
Say that, and this one was spoon fed to us from the master of the nicknames, Chris Berman. Eric sleeping with Bienemy.
that one is.
You can't. That is one that cannot be topped.
Yeah.
Cannot be topped. Cannot be topped. Eric sleeping with Bienemy.
All right.
That's a number one. And you've got a long way until you get to a number two.
What? Okay. That's the one that sticks in
Eric
your brain?
Eric sleeping with Bienemy.
I think that is a great call. Did anybody ever call him that?
Chris Berman did.
I know. Hey, Chris Berman
did on all those Sports Center top tens.
Yeah. All right. Well, so a couple coming in already. We've got Sauce Gardner.
Sauce Gardner is a good one. Yeah.
There's a lot of
I couldn't tell you Sauce Gardner's first name. Like,
apparently it's Ahmad.
Yeah, I guess. Sure. Yeah. I'll take your word for it.
That's what he said on the text line.
I'll take your word for it.
So yeah, getting people to come in with better nicknames. But yeah, the Honey Badger, the reason that nickname was always so great though too, was the YouTube Honey Badger voiceovers. You've heard all of those. The honey badger does not care.
I don't know. You don't know this?
No. All right. Well, here's your homework assignment. Go onto YouTube and pull up the honey badger clips.
Gotcha.
That was part of it, that the honey badger was getting his.
Another one coming in here on the old text line, which is a very good suggestion. Andy Dalton and the Red Rifle.
Red Rifle is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, but
yeah.
Yeah.
But there, still. There nothing are, beats Eric sleeping with Bienemy.
Sleeping with Bienemy. Well, like I said, I will give everybody 23 hours to think about it. We will start tomorrow's show with better ones. But yeah, when I saw that, that was the first thing that popped in my head with Tyrann Mathieu was, oh my gosh, this guy had a great career. He was super fun to watch. But if you have never seen the YouTube clip with the honey badger, every time they use that nickname, your brain goes right there. So we'll see if it can catch up to it. But knowing that little viral sensation will make that nickname so much better.
Quickly, because we've got about 35 seconds left here, reminds me of an Ian Carmel bit from the All Fantasy Everything podcast.
Okay.
And how he said that Randy Johnson's nickname,
the big unit,
could be, yes, Randy, the big unit Johnson, he could be referred to as, goodness, Horny the Big Penis. Randy the Big Unit Johnson.
Yeah, I can pick up that.
Horny the Big Penis.
Yeah. I like Blow Pig for Wyndham Johnson is another one that I really like. Wind Ham. Wind plus Ham equals Blow Pig.
Blow Pig is good.
Another one that jumps to mind. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are done for now, but we will send you over to primetime right here on the Fan Sports Network. Bye-bye. You draw your terminal breath.